News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 30th of July, Anno Domini 2006, and you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 9 minutes after the hour, 10 minutes after the hour, under beautiful, warm, bright, charming skies in Rochester, New York.
You'd make a very good meteorologist making the bad look good.
It is a beautiful day in my neighborhood. I don't really care what's going on out there.
They just keep pulling the shades down so he can't see outside.
That's right.
We're here to bring you news, views, stuff you can use. Give us a call, of course. You know the numbers, 222-1180 if you're in that 585 area code. If you're outside the 585 area code, of course, it's 800-295-1180. On the Choice One toll-free line. And for all you Verizon Wireless customers, it's star 1180. So give us a call, join in the fun. We'll be doing all kinds of interesting and cool stuff. First, let's talk about antivirus applications. The Australian community... Hello. Hi, how are you? So you take a week off and you can't do a dang thing. Australia's Computer Emergency Response Team, also known as AusCert, did a study.
Mm-hmm.
And discovered that the top three antivirus programs now miss approximately 80% of the new viruses,
yep.
8 out of 10. Now, they don't name the top three, but...
we all know who they are.
Well, the Gartner Group, the people who think all day long for a fee, tell us that the top three are Symantec, McAfee, and Trend Micro. So those three appear to be missing 80% of the viruses that come out. Now, is that because Symantec, McAfee, and Trend Micro are lousy at doing their job? No, it's exactly the other way around. The virus writers are getting way better at doing their job.
Mm-hmm.
What they now do is when they create a virus, they don't release it until they know it gets around the top three. So if
that's their goal point,
right? The first thing they do after they create their virus is test it against McAfee, Symantec, and Trend Micro. If it doesn't get past them, they don't release
they don't
it. They keep working on it.
They don't even waste their time.
So what's happening now is that the most popular brands of antivirus in the market have an 80% hit rate,
miss rate.
An 80% miss rate. 8 out of 10 pieces of malicious code are getting through.
And several thousand new ones a week come out, so that's a huge number.
Do the math.
Mm-hmm.
It's carry the four a lot.
Yeah.
One program that I found, though, that does a decent job. Now, folks can, we've got a link already up on our webpage that I've been playing around with, haven't tried it a lot yet. It's called eWidow. You can try it out for 15 days, and then you got to pay for it. Which is only fair. If you like it, you know, you get to try it for 2 weeks, a little over 2 weeks, see if it does the job for you as far as cleaning out a lot of these Trojans and spyware and this, that it will promote other spyware programs. We found eWidow does a great job.
Until it becomes too popular. That's been one of the criticisms against the Mac all these years. It's security through obscurity. Because it's not as popular as Windows, there's less attacks for it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Right.
The same thing is true of Kaspersky, the Russian antivirus software.
Mm-hmm.
It's got 0.7% of the market and catches 90% of the stuff they threw at it. AVG is also very good, and we've been promoting that on the Security Tango website. Clam AV is very good. So the point here is for you folks who are running Symantec, McAfee, or Trend Micro, to rethink your choice of antivirus software. One of the reasons that we promote AVG is because it's free.
Yep.
You don't have to pay a cent for it if you don't want to. You should. They're doing great work, and we should give them the benefit of the doubt and get them going. But you should worry that 80% of what you're doing, 80% of the viruses out there are getting through your antivirus software if you're running one of the big three. So you need to be more careful of that. Now, look, before we get to the phones, I want to talk about my vacation. I had a great time.
Little time travel involved, I hear.
I did. I did a little time travel. We went to the Renaissance Fair last weekend. We go most years. We did not go in costume this year.
Oh.
Yeah. My daughter enjoys that, but we didn't. The big problem for me is my wife's got me in a coat and vest and pants that are wool.
Oh.
In summer heat.
I just was not going to stay. It was like 90.
Yeah, not in that heat.
111 degrees. But we went. It was wonderful. Saturday, it rained cats and dogs the entire day, so we didn't go. And for the first time in ever, I had an actual day off. We got up. It was raining. So we dawdled around figuring it'll break in a few hours. We'll go in. Kept on raining. Went down to breakfast. Kept on raining. Came back up. Kept on raining. Decided we'll go to a movie.
Next best plan.
Came out. Still raining.
Oops.
Went to the bookstore. And I can spend a day and a half in a bookstore. Came out. It was still raining. Went back to the apartment, to the hotel, lolled around for a while. Still raining. It was great. It was so great. My wife was quivering like a tuning fork. She just needed to get out and get her plan going.
Yeah.
I, on the other hand, just it was so, so
laid back and chilled out.
Wonderful. Sunday we did go, and that was wonderful too in a different way. We saw all the acts that we really like and enjoyed. I just had a great time. It was a great weekend. I got to actually relax for a whole day. And we went to the Ren Fair and had fun. I love some of the acts. A lot of them are old vaudeville sorts of stuff, and I had a fun time. All right, listen, it's 16 minutes after the hour, so we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco. All of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Computer talk you can understand. It's Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 20 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites. And we have interesting bits of news
for
you.
Wait a minute. Before we do, I got to say thank you. I didn't get a chance yesterday. As you folks know, the Sophia brothers aren't on anymore. But I was going to, because I was down in Canisius helping my sister and brother-in-law out. I didn't get a chance to call in, and I wanted to personally thank them. When I went on vacation, I picked up a trailer. And I had Steve and his crew paint it to match my bike. I got to tell you, I picked it up Friday. Those guys do one kick of a job.
It was
unbelievable. I mean, matching car colors is one thing, but these guys putting up this stuff, maybe this one, they matched it so well. It's unbelievable. Sophia Brothers did an excellent job, and I can't thank them enough. It looks great.
Good.
And unbelievable.
They make something a little easier than hooking a trailer to a motorcycle. They call it a car.
It's kind of a newfangled thing.
Yeah.
You can get them really big, too.
No. You don't enjoy the ride as much.
You don't get to swallow as many bugs, though.
Yeah, right.
I've never swallowed a bug. I've been hit by them. Matter of fact, I even had the worst thing I've run into, which I'm allergic to, is as you go along, you got your arms up. I've had bees. I've
up
had
your
bees
sleeves.
Twice
yep.
Go up my sleeve, and I've had to quick pull over. And I'm sitting there going like this, putting my arms against my chest, trying to squish the bees because
doing the chicken.
Yeah, like the chicken dance. Yes.
All right. Intel has unveiled a whole bunch of new chips, and they've slashed prices. They launched their biggest product revamp in 6 years on Thursday, unveiling 10 microprocessors that are expected to help the world's largest chip maker retake the ground they've lost to smaller competitors like AMD, Advanced Micro Devices, Inc. It's the Core 2 Duo microprocessors, significantly better performance, requiring less power, and giving off less heat. Intel also slashed prices as much as 61%. On some of their older chips.
See, what's going on here, but what's really bad is because a lot of folks get confused. you know, with all these different chips and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
AMD and Intel still haven't come out with, say, like the next generation and labeled it like Pentium 5.
Right.
Because well, that's what most of the consumers know. If you tell them, because right now all these other new chips are all sort of getting blurred around the Pentium 4. And, yeah, it's a Pentium 4, but a little bit better. And, yeah, this one's a Pentium 4 better than the better one. That's
well, we went through that with the 386, 486. They couldn't call it 586 because they couldn't copyright that name. So
right.
It was Pentium. The Pentium was really the 586. Pentium 2 was the 686. Pentium 3 is the 786.
But they got to come up with another name to really
another name, right.
Boost.
Well, the problem
that's
is
the core duo name.
Right. And the problem is that all the chip companies have hit roadblocks. They can't make their chips any faster with current technologies.
Right.
So they're starting to put more cores on a single piece of silicon.
Right.
And for the consumer, that almost doesn't make any difference. Computers aren't that much faster than they used to be. You know, back when it was the 386 to 486, you could get twice as fast as computer, and you could double your speed every year. But now, you know, it's marginal improvements.
And unless you're running an operating system that takes advantage of symmetric multiprocessing
and running real high-end apps, then the dual cores and multi-cores don't really help you any. But what's interesting is what high-end apps are becoming. With the digital media revolution, people are doing video editing on their personal computer. And so then a high-end app is rendering your screens, trying to render the screens that you're making on your home video. So that would be a place where dual processor helps.
Right. My favorite is, you know, somebody says, I'm looking for a new computer. What should I get? And I always say, what do you want to do with it? Oh, you know, the standard things. I just want to read email
something simple,
and do web pages and edit video. Whoa, hold on.
Yeah.
You just jumped a level or maybe four.
Added a comma.
Right, exactly. Exactly. If you stick to those first two, you're good. You start throwing in edit video and you're in a whole new level. All right, anyway, let's go to the phones. We might as well take a phone call here today. Our first caller is John from Greece, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I got a question for your Macintosh guru.
Okay, wake me when it's done.
I've got a Macintosh Performa 6300 CD, and I want to increase the memory in it. How do I do that, or how do I go about that?
Well, it depends on how much memory you have in there now.
I got 32.
And how many slots you're using.
There's only 2 slots in it.
Right, so it depends on if that 32 is a single 32 meg chip or
no,
my microphone just died.
It came unscrewed. Both slots.
So you'll have to take something out to put something bigger in.
Correct.
And the problem is going to be finding someone that still sells memory that old. You may be able to find it around the internet somewhere. I'm sure that we at Jesse Group could find something that old. We might even have something left lying around that's that old. So that's going to be your problem. And the other a major issue is that old RAM gets very expensive because they stopped making it so long ago. So you may run into that problem, too. You said it was a 6300?
Yeah.
Or 630?
6300.
You're a little better off there because it's at least a power PC.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find the RAM specs on it to see how much it can go up to. There are RAM vendors on the internet you might be able to find. There are, and as I said, at Jesse Group, we can probably find it for you. But you may end up paying more than the computer is worth in RAM because old RAM gets very expensive. So you can give our office a call, 924-1920, dig around the internet and see what you can find.
All right. I hope that helps. It does get tough when you have an older machine and you're kind of stuck with whatever's going on. You, however, are not stuck because the great Glenn Lamberts is in to talk to you about news and weather and sports and all of those good things. And we're going to – he's living off a sugar rush right now, so he'll be be doing great. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with the great and mighty Rob Linton, who seems to be, I don't know what those gestures all mean anymore. Do you have, look, I do. I know a little American Sign Language. I know a lot of rude Italian street gestures, but what you're doing, I've never seen. I'm Nick Francesco. We'll be back with Sound Bites in just a couple of minutes.
Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Yeah, turn it on.
I was just going to make a wisecrack about Steve's mic, but yeah, backfired on me. Sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. Nah, we should, it's 33 minutes.
We should describe what happened. We have to describe,
what happened.
I'm sorry, Steve.
We have these newfangled articulate arms. There's springs sticking out everywhere.
And here's Steve holding the microphone assembly in his hand.
Yeah, here he was talking to our last caller, John, and right in the middle of talking to him, his mic just dropped right off the arm. And he caught it, and he was holding it in his hand for the entire answer. It was like man on the street interviews in the 40s.
But it was smooth.
It was smooth,
yes. He was a smooth guy.
Well, as we should mention for John that during the break, I was able to find that his computer can go up to a whopping 64 megabytes of RAM.
Holy mother of pearl.
By putting two 32-meg chips in. 72-pin SIMs.
Which I don't think they've made in 5 years.
From 1985.
There you go. 85.
95, sorry.
Oh, 95.
1995,
right.
Yeah. So 11-year-old computer. You might be able to find RAM for it.
Matter of fact, memory for less. If he goes to the website, memory for less.
Is that the number four?
Is that Crucial?
Pardon?
Yeah, Crucial's got a couple of those cute web URLs, too.
Yeah,
but finding RAM that
for,
old.
Well, memory for less, I believe, is... The website.
You might be reduced to eBay, finding used stuff.
And they can find, I mean, there's plenty of used stuff out there. You're not going to find new, so you got to buy used.
And that's memory four less with the number four.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So Steve will put that up on the website. And we'll talk about real networks. Did you guys talk last week about Zune? The Ooh. Zune, the new Microsoft media player?
No.
No, it's another rumor of an iPod killer.
No, it's out. They've
announced
finally
released?
It.
Oh, officially announced?
Oh, I thought you guys talked about it last week. I would have talked about it this week. Yeah, Microsoft has announced their Zune, Z-U-N-E, which is apparently a rude word in some Middle Eastern language, but they're going to continue to call it the Zune. And basically, this is an iPod. You know, the big difference is instead of Apple's Fair Play digital rights management, they use Microsoft's digital rights management. That's really the big difference. They have their own music store and all this other stuff,
which is limited to certain devices. That was the whole mess in France about the iPod. The digital rights management is limited to certain devices.
Right.
So is Microsoft's.
Yeah. Well, that's right. and the people who really porked off are the folks at Real because now they're locked out of two devices, the iPod and the Zune. So they're very upset about that, and they're very upset that they've been left out. Real Media is pretty good. I don't like the Real Media player any more than I like anybody else's player, because as with all of them, it wants to take over your machine.
Yeah, they take it over, and then you get spyware and everything.
QuickTime does it. Microsoft's Media Player does it. The Real Player does it. They all want to run everything on your machine, and frankly, I hate them all. Okay. There.
Tell us how you
really each one thinks they're the best, and you're the only one.
And they're all wrong.
And it's the only one you need. But you need all three, and then you need the Flash player and the Shock player and all the other players, because there's all this different media to watch.
Right, right. All right, our next caller is Steve from Webster, New York. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'd like to ask about the Security Tango CD.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm getting a laptop for school, and before I connect it to any kind of internet, I like to run all the stuff from the CD. Well, what's the best way to get it? Just to buy it early and have you mail it, or come by and pick it up?
Either or. It's whatever is convenient for you.
But most of them you can't run from the CD. You have to install on your computer.
Yeah, the programs you got to run, it's just a compiled list of... I put a file on there that says print this file first, and it's a listing of all the programs and a brief description of what each program does that's on that CD.
And plus, they get updated every week,
but
too.
Just to answer your question, it's whatever convenient for you. Yes, we can mail it out if you fill out that information on there. Or if you're going to pick it up, just let me know what date you're going to pick it up. Because with each CD that I burn, I'm always checking to verify that it's the latest updates as far as the stuff for Adware and SpyBot and the other programs.
Right. And Steve's point really is he wants to protect his machine before he catches it to the internet in any way, which I think is very bright.
And you'll be very surprised on how much spyware comes on an empty PC.
Yeah, you will be. But Steve, I think that's a great idea. My point is the sooner you do it, the sooner you're online and having fun.
Right? And then so, the sooner you can get the updates you'll need to keep yourself clean.
Right, exactly. So I would say go for it as soon as possible. Our next caller, and of course you can do that right from the Security Tango website, which is at securitytango.com. That's securitytango.com. You'll see a list of things on the left and right under my blog. Oh, wait, I have a blog there, which you should all go read. But right under that is a button that says get the CD, and that'll lead you through the process of getting the CD that Dave has put together. Our next caller is Vito from Chilai. Welcome, Vito. What's your question?
Oh, thank you. I'm building a new hard drive with the Windows XP, and I loaded my UrfanView 3.98, and now when I open any kind of a JPEG, the screen blinks, it opens, and it looks like VGA mode. And I can't seem to get it out of that mode.
When you, what happened is when you reinstalled Windows on this machine, did you also update the video drivers?
They were the video drivers that Windows accepted. In other words, I really don't know how to.
Well, that's probably the generic VGA drivers.
Right,
you need
and
to
see,
load.
What happened was, is, you know, when you got your machine, it had specific VGA drivers.
Are you building? Did you say you're building a new computer or rebuilding one that you've already had?
You know, it works fine in every other mode as far as video goes. It's just when I use UrfanView, if I use the Windows Viewer, it's okay. It's just that UrfanView does this in VGA, and I can't get it out of there. So I don't think it's the drivers.
I'm thinking it's a bad install.
Well, that'd be interesting.
These things happen. I would say,
download a new copy of UrfanView.
Right, uninstall it, download a brand new copy, and reinstall it. Let us know what happens. But I would start there because I think that's what the problem is. Listen, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco at 40 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Wright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 45 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. Interesting. Today, Windows Vista is probably being delayed yet again. And
yet again.
Thank you, everybody.
Didn't Ballmer just say something the other day about we've got to be multi-core? We're not going to wait another 6 years for the next Windows.
Yeah, right. Well, that's part of the problem. Windows Vista is already 5 years in the making. It's been postponed several times, and Microsoft on Thursday failed to squash any fears that that Vista could be further delayed. And what that did was sent Microsoft shares down a bit. They closed down 2%, which doesn't sound a lot until you realize what they cost and how many people have them. Basically, the co-president of Microsoft's Platforms and Services Unit, Kevin Johnson, said, and I quote, "We will ship Windows Vista when it's available."
Not when it's done. Not when it's
buggy.
No, not when it's
bug-free. Is it going to work?
He also said Microsoft will take the project milestone by milestone. Quality assurance delays already put it off until early 2007, which is, of course, after the crucial holiday shopping season. They're talking about shipping it to corporate customers this November, but I personally will not be the first corporate customer to install it because it sounds like it's going to be half finished.
Yeah.
To put it as politely as
what,
I possibly can.
They want the corporate people to be the beta testers?
Yes, of course they do. Yes, absolutely.
I mean, that's the thing. Back in our day, remember, they used to pay us or give us tchotchkes for beta testing. Yeah. Now Microsoft wants you to pay them to get a beta version of their software and then get back to them about it.
Well, some of that is because of the almost infinite combination of PCs that you can put Windows on.
Right.
There's no way Microsoft could test all those combinations. So, yeah, let's sign up 10,000 beta testers.
Well, in fact, what Microsoft is doing now, if you want to beta test the 2007 Microsoft Office system,
mm-hmm.
it's going to cost you $1.50 to download it.
Yeah, right.
Yes. They're going to charge you $1.50 to download it. I think that's great.
Yeah.
I think that's great. You know, they're not making enough money, so they got to do this. Vista's delayed yet again, and I have not yet seen
the huge push
Apple and the Linux people have to make to really take advantage of this, but they're working on it. Our next caller is Bob From Greece, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Good morning.
Good morning.
My question is regarding Windows. I have an XP set up here, and I use Windows quite a bit, as so many people do, and without any problems. But about a month ago, when I tried to open Windows, I get a little message that says that I'm missing the Microsoft Word feature. That's the phrase that's used. And it attempts to load this feature, and, of course, it's not there. And then it says, get your disk and load it, which I do. And that's happening. This is happening about, oh, 4 out of 5 times that I go into Windows. And I'm just wondering, where did this come from all of a sudden, and how do I avoid any future? It's a nuisance more than anything
else. Do you have Microsoft Works on there also?
No.
Just the... You have just plain Word. It's not the Microsoft Office or Work Suite.
It is part of the Work Suite, but I don't have the other.
That's what's the problem. What you got to do is uninstall that whole Works combo.
Hmm.
That's what's causing the problem.
You can't just put Word on there.
No, because they want you to have the Works Suite components in there to work with Word.
Well, now, would this be because of some update? Because I've never had this problem until a month ago. And I do keep my MS stuff updated pretty carefully.
Now, when you put your Word disk in and let it load this, does
you see, it's just not a Word disk with the Work Suite.
The suite, yeah.
They've got the Word for Windows buried within the Works Suite. So it wants to put all those components in. So I would suggest undoing it, putting it back in, and see if that corrects.
So that would include Excel and all that stuff that I never use.
Well, that's part of the Office Suite. Do you have the Work Suite or the Office Suite?
Oh, I'm sorry. I have the Office Suite. I'm sorry. Yes.
Oh, well then.
No, wait a minute here. I've got the box right here in front of me. If I just would read that, it's the Work Suite.
Yeah, Microsoft Works is a standalone, separate, integrated program that also does word processing, spreadsheet, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It never really caught on because most business users use the Microsoft Office Suite.
On the other hand, Works has everything the average
user
needs.
Yeah, and it's great.
Right. And so that for a while, they have this Works Suite that includes Word because that's the more common word processor. And there sometimes can be interaction between the Works word processor and the Word processor.
Uninstall it and reinstall it and see what happens.
Hmm.
Now, and you said this message comes up on every boot?
Four out of five.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I've seen similar problems where it's a failing hard drive. It says this file is missing, so you copy that file in. On the next boot, it says this file is missing.
Mm-hmm.
So you put that one back in, and then this file is missing.
Only this same one over and over again, as they word it, the Microsoft Word feature.
Yeah. See, and what it's trying to do is it's probably trying to do the toolbar, that there's a toolbar that used to be up at the top that with Office, what was it, 2000 and 2003, that they took away.
Check your startup startup items, and see if that Office shortcut bar or Office toolbar is in there.
And take it out.
If you can remove the feature it's trying to launch, then you might get rid of the error message that you can't have that feature.
Yep.
Right.
Give it a shot. Let us know.
All right. Well, all right.
We're all blue-collar men here.
We are all blue-collar men. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Way, with Rob Linton, with me, Nick Francesco, and with you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
H-A-M.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Way.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Now, I have to do this story. I know Steve's going to hate me for it, but Apple admits to MacBook and MacBook Pro issues. Apple has actually acknowledged there are problems with its Intel-based portables. The company informed suffering users to make contact with their AppleCare customer service team. The problems are high-pitched buzzing sound, we call that the fan, affecting some MacBook Pros, or the discoloration that's seen on the top of the case of a MacBook after some use. MacBook Pro users have complained about numerous noises emanating from their machines since the Intel-based notebooks began shipping in February of this year. Audible irritations include whining sounds coming from the screen, more whining sounds coming from the body of the notebook, more whining sounds coming from the area below the screen hinge when the laptop's running on batteries and both cores of the Core Duo PC are enabled, and a lot of whining over the phone to Apple.
I don't like that.
The discoloration took a little longer to emerge, but appears to be a reaction between the laptop's plastic casing and the chemicals that are exuded from sweaty palms. And we all know how excited Mac people get actually using their computers. Just yeah. The act of touching an Apple product makes your palms sweat. Claims that the black MacBook suffers from flaking paint problems remain unconfirmed beyond one or two users who've alleged online to have suffered from them. So basically, the solution is make contact with the AppleCare customer service team. Is that about right?
Pretty much. And as with most companies, laptops are handled on a dispatch basis. So you'll mail your laptop into Apple. They'll fix it and mail it back to you.
And the timetable would be?
Generally, a week to 10 days, often a lot faster. Although with a... If this is a widespread problem,
it
could take longer, depending on your place in the queue.
Do we have any truth or rumor or innuendo or sheer wild guess as to what causes these whiny noises? Not the ones on the phone to the Apple reps, just the ones in the computer itself.
Well, it's got to be some spinning part, so it could be the fan. We've seen in some models over the years, even on the PCs, especially on the PCs where there's a lot of extra wires dangling around.
Right.
You get a wire too close to a fan blade, and you hear a little high pitched noise. So it's always tough with a new computer. It's sort of the same problem Microsoft has with their Vista. And beta testers is you can only go through so much testing in the lab. Right. And
well, it says whining sounds are coming from the screen. There's no fan there.
The high voltage inverter board that's lighting the screen, possibly.
Yeah.
So it's like the buzz you hear off of fluorescent lights. It's a cold cathode for fluorescent light backlighting the screen.
Right. I mean, I can see that there's... You know, the one that's coming from the body of the notebook could easily be some sort of fan on something. Apple doesn't do a lot of fans in their products, so...
They like them to be quiet.
I can see that there would be people who would just think a fan was in some way a bad thing, a bad noise they were hearing. We more rugged PC users are going quietly deaf in our computer rooms with all the whooshing and whirring and... whooping and then having to turn the TV up so loud to be heard over it.
Well, Apple did something a couple of years ago that was kind of neat. Instead of having the one giant fan that most computers have, they went with 9 smaller fans.
Mm-hmm.
So they can be smaller. There's targeted airflow zones so they can be quieter.
We got a server in for the server rack. We started it up and it sounded like a jet.
Yep.
We opened it up. There were like 15 fans in this.
Well,
thing.
No, they're not fans. They're blowers.
Yeah, they were that.
There's a functional difference between a fan and a blower, especially in a server.
Yeah.
You don't care how loud your server is. You want it to be cool.
Right, right. And it's in the server room, so you walk in, you put on ear protectors. You know, you got a room full of 80 or 100,000 of these things, depending on the size of your room, and that's what you get. With that, but
well, we don't have time for a call, Rob. It's almost news time.
It's news time.
5 minutes ago, when you started this conversation, we had time for a call.
But yes, and
now
I know
we have to go to news.
I know that the people on the phone are a tiny bit upset that we didn't take their calls, but the news is important too.
They are plotting against you as we speak.
And Mac people, our callers love us, and my hope is they will continue to wait patiently because we will get back to them. Directly after the news and weather. And
it would not be a normal Sunday if I did not give you trouble.
These
you know what I'm saying?
People are just desperately waiting to hear Glenn speak. They all love him and they want to hear him. And we're going to give them that opportunity right now. The only reason they're hanging on the phone is because they will be able to hear him clearer over the phone than they would through their radios. And that's why they've called, to listen to Glenn. So we're going to give them that opportunity. We, on the other hand, will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright. With Steve Ray, with Rob, I'm in charge, and don't you forget it, Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbite, on 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, I'm Nick Francesco, and we're going right back to our long-suffering and incredibly patient phone people. Our next caller is Dennis from Honeyoy. Welcome, Dennis. What's your question? Dennis, are you there?
Push the button, Rob.
Dennis?
I hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're ready to take phone calls now?
Didn't you just hear me say, and we're going to go right back to our long-suffering people? Because
yeah,
you got mad when I didn't take a call last time with like 2 minutes before we had to go to the break anyway?
Hello.
Hi, Dennis. How are you?
What's
your question?
Hi, thanks. I've got a HP OfficeJet D145 that's displaying intermittent scanner failures. The fix, they also pass along on the display, is to unplug and plug the unit back in. Mm-hmm. However, it doesn't clear the problem. And I uninstalled and reinstalled the software with and without Gateway supervision, and Gateway sent me to HP. HP says unplug the printer from the surge protector and plug it directly into the wall.
Yep.
And that has had no effect.
Now, this is one of those all-in-one printer scanner effects, all that.
Yeah, that's it.
10-to-1 odds the scanner portion on that unit is going.
Mechanically failing.
Yeah.
Is it still under warranty?
No, it's not. We've had it for
It's probably not worth fixing.
Yeah.
There is an HP repair shop in Toby Village, JP Computers. They do HP warranty printer repair.
Uh-huh.
But you can get a new all-in-one for $100.
Yeah.
And I thought it was heat-related because I noticed overnight it doesn't I don't get that failure displayed in the morning, but
mm-hmm.
around 9, 10 o'clock.
Yep, once it starts warming up.
Starts warming up.
Yep.
It goes.
Yipper, sir. Sorry,
mechanical.
That's the one.
Yeah, well, it's certainly, you're right. It's heat related, and that means some component on the motherboard is in the process of failing.
Okay.
I mean, those all-in-ones are great, but the problem
stop being all-in-one.
Right. Yeah. And for most of them, if one piece of it fails, all three pieces don't work.
Well,
right.
The other big issue, though, is, say, like on this, the scanner goes. You got to take it in. Well, there goes your printer.
Right.
That's still working fine, but that's going into the shop to be repaired, with the rest of the unit. So that's where all-in-ones can be dangerous in that fact that, you lose one aspect, it's got to go off. Now the other stuff that was working
is missing.
It's very convenient because it's only one box that you have to worry about on your desk.
And it's great for a small business.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, printers have gotten to be a commodity item too. $50 for half a print, well, for a printer that comes with $50 worth of ink. So the first time you need to buy ink for it, you can buy a new printer. I know people that do that. They just buy a new printer and they get brand new ink with it.
Yeah.
They've almost become commodity items. So it's hard to justify repairing them. Which is bad because it just adds more to the waste stream.
Any suggestions regarding inkjet versus laser?
Laser is significantly more cost effective. A typical black and white laser print page is 2 cents per copy. When you do a full color inkjet page, you're looking at a couple of dollars per page when you use the special paper. What a lot of our customers do is they get a black and white laser printer, which are $150 for all their basic, printing needs.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get the $100 inkjet printer for
the
occasional color stuff.
Yeah.
Or if you want to do photographs, you get a 4x6 photo printer.
The problem with inkjets is if you don't use them at least semi-regularly,
the ink will dry out. Yeah. And the
not
other
on
option
the new HPs. The HPs now have the cartridges where it doesn't flow through the tubes anymore.
Well, HP has always been like that. The cartridge and the ink tank and the head are in a single component.
Plus, with the HP, you can get some of the models that will take the 8.5x11, and it's got a little side drawer or compartment
for the
4x6.
It generally makes HP cartridges more expensive, but you're getting a new head with every new ink tank. The other solution that we're seeing a lot more people do is color laser jet. For $500, you can get a color laser printer. You get all the advantages of the cheap consumables of laser, plus you have the color option.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when a color laser printer was $50,000, and we were glad to pay it because that was so cheap.
Yeah, right.
Okay?
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Great show.
Our pleasure, Dennis. Thank you. Our next caller is Sue from Geneseo. Welcome, Sue. What's your question?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I live just south of Geneseo. I'm going back to school, and all I have down here is dial-up connection for Internet. We've been researching, trying to figure out what's the best option to get Internet service down here. Do you have any ideas?
Well, dial-up or satellite if you can't get
this. Or the new Verizon. Verizon has a wireless card you can buy that works off of the cell phone network.
Oh, yeah, really?
Wireless broadband.
Yeah, it's not tremendously fast.
It's 500K, so it's faster than dial-up, right. Not as fast as broadband.
Right, and it's not tremendously cheap. I think it's
$60 a month.
But it's faster than dial-up, and you can use it pretty much anywhere. Now, what's nice about that is, well, you can use it anywhere you get a signal, right? So you have to be able to get a wireless signal. But once you've got a wireless signal, and let's say you buy one of these cards for your laptop, you can be anywhere.
I have the wireless card.
No, this
is a separate wireless card. It's a different card you would buy.
Yeah, this is wireless broadband. Most laptops are coming with Wi-Fi, which is a different wireless. It's wireless networking. Wi-Fi cards have a range of about 100 feet.
Okay.
The wireless broadband cards are several miles.
And so as long as you can find a cell tower, you can. So it really works just like the cell phone. As, you know, wherever you can get a signal on the cell phone, you can use this card to get on the Internet at about 500K per second.
And that's about what satellite costs these days, that $60 to $70 a month. But you couldn't get 3 or 4 megabit down.
Well, we're finding with satellite, they want $500 to $600 to install.
Well, there's usually two different plans. It's $500 up front and then $50 a month, or nothing up front and $100 a month. So it works out to about $1,200 a year.
Right.
Either way.
But you want to talk to the folks at Verizon. Give them a call and see what the story is. How they, you know, whether you can get it in your area and all the other stuff.
Sprint is certainly
an opportunity, or an alternative, rather, and you ought to check it out.
Sprint is starting to come out with the same thing, too, but Verizon has been running it about a year. It's called EVDO. I forget what the acronym is, but Verizon calls it a wireless broadband.
DSL is not in your area, I take it?
Correct.
Yeah, DSL and cable.
Yeah,
a lot of the outlying areas can't get it.
Happy other than the speed, but...
Right.
One other question for you. My son just bought a new Dell computer like a few weeks ago, and he just got information from his college that he needs it to be wired for Ethernet.
It usually always is.
They always are.
Yeah.
In the last couple, 3 years,
In the past few years, every motherboard coming out now has built-in networking.
You're looking for a jack on the back that looks like a telephone connector, but it's bigger. It's got 8 wires in it.
A little bit bigger.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now, there you go.
Thank you so much. Have a good
Thank
day.
You. All right. Our next caller is Tom from Niagara Falls.
How you doing, fellas?
Good. How are you?
Good. Actually, a non-technical question. I saw something quite a long time ago. The keyboards that you use on a computer, not the one in the laptop, but an extended keyboard, they get gunky and stick after a while because of dirt buildup.
Right.
Now, I was told that you can put them in the dishwasher and that solves that problem. Is there any truth to that?
Sort of.
Yeah.
You can put it in the dishwasher. Well, not the whole computer, just the keyboard.
No, just the keyboard.
Right, you can put it in the dishwasher on the gentlest, mildest cycle it has. Let it dry for a week. Because you want to make sure.
At least a week.
You want to make sure. And then every couple of days, turn it over so the water drains out.
The thing of it is,
or you buy a new keyboard for $10.
That's great for the hardwired ones. For the wireless,
Wireless don't do that.
I do not recommend it.
No, these are all hardwires.
Yeah. You can do it, but geez and crackers, they're cheap now.
Yeah, I know that, but it just
there's something about throwing away a keyboard.
I was wondering if it would work.
Yes, it would work.
Tell you all those caveats.
Never take a hairdryer to it. The first thing you'll melt is the keys.
If you like to tinker, you can try to take the keyboard apart, which is interesting because they're horrible to take apart. So how does the crumbs get in there?
Well, the crumbs drop right through the thing.
Yeah, right through.
But
the
they get fairly disgusting after a while. Everybody eats at their computer and drinks at their computer, and they get gunky and sticky. But
tell me about it.
That's why I have plastic bottles with caps on them. So when they tip over, they don't spill.
Yes, that's why my coffee cup has a lid.
We've had to take some of them, though.
Yep.
on our workbench, we lay out a piece of newspaper, and this is even with laptops. Tip them on the side and just lightly
shake them out.
Shake them, and all the stuff that comes falling out of those keyboards is unbelievable. We just roll the paper up because it's disgusting. I mean, cookie crumbs and hair and
yeah. Pets. But yeah, the dishwasher thing does work. I used to work 100 years ago at a place called the Computer Center back in the days when computers were ludicrously expensive. And I went in the back room one day and our tech, Ed Lattimore, greatest, I'm sorry guys, but he's greatest technician on the face of the earth. Ed Lattimore had a bucket full of soapy water and he just left keyboards sitting in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what the heck does he think he's doing? But it works.
Yep.
As long as you then dry them incredibly long and incredibly carefully. And like they said, turn it every day or so, or every few hours, actually, so that the water doesn't pool and start to rust some of the components.
Well, we did in Kodak. We literally, like you say, had a bucket. You put it in, rinse them out. And we had this old film drying cabinet.
Sure.
It was a wooden cabinet they were going to throw out. We said, no, 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 we'll take it. I literally put it on a dolly, took it upstairs, plugged it in. And it was great because it had metal racks. We put
it's a dry heat.
Yeah, it was a nice dry heat. You could put them in there and slowly dry them out in half the time, and they work great.
Yeah. A lot can depend on what you spill in it, too. Water is the easiest because it just dries out. But
orange juice, coffee.
Yeah, soda's bad. Coffee's bad.
Diet soda's not so bad.
Because there's no sugar crystals in
it. Mm-hmm.
But you know, raw coffee's okay.
Not okay, but better. Semi.
But beans don't get through there.
Yeah, once you put your sugar in it, it all dries and crystallizes inside the computer.
Right. It's terrible.
Oh, speaking of, Dave, you got to put your dirty computers back up on your website. I had a horrible one this week, and I went to show some of our people how bad yours were.
We're doing that. Plus, Dan and I have been kind of busy, but we also have one of the fan. Yeah. I don't know if I showed you the one of the fan. Oh, this fan from a smoker.
When you do your spring cleaning, don't forget your computer.
Yeah.
This fan is the worst I have seen in my 30 years of experience.
Caked solid.
I mean, even the fins that spin around have big buildup on it. I'll be putting those pictures back up, though. Yes, yeah. We will have them back up.
Yeah, you want to don't. I love these computer hutches you can buy because they're so nice to put all your computer together. But don't put your computer in that little cubby hole. Because then there's no airflow out the back, and your computer runs hot, which shortens the life. But also, it just accumulates all the more dust, which
Most
makes it run
I
hot.
Most people I know have their computers either up against a wall, under a table, in a corner. Absolutely the worst place for them.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Wake Up Linton, and me, Nick Francesco. On the greatest computer show in the known universe, that one I understood. On the Soundbites, 1180 WHAM.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1, turn your radio down. 2, turn your radio down lower. 3, remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4, make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5, calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
These guys can answer your questions. Back to more Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, dang near 25 minutes after the hour, it's Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM. Now, before we go back to the phones, I truly wish we were a television show. You should see.
No, they don't.
Rob, frightening.
We've got our bite cam up, pointing at us. We got to get now a second camera pointing at Rob.
Hello, it's the
it's
Queen Wave.
Hello. The way they're positioned, the microphones are blocking our faces the way they work.
Yeah, before we get back to the
which
phones,
is good, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to take just a couple of minutes to tell you a little bit about what happens at our website, soundbites.org. That's a bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Every week, we do a poll. Last week's poll was about what antivirus software you use. 342 of you voted, making it number 90 on the all-time hit list. Thanks to each and every one of you. I think it's particularly apropos at this point, since our first news item this week was that the top three miss 80% of the viruses, the new viruses that are out. And, of course, the top three, according to the Gartner Group, are Symantec, McAfee, and Trend Micro. Interestingly enough, I'm delighted to say that 41% of you on our poll are using AVG, followed by Norton, which unfortunately is Symantec, followed by McAfee. So that ends up being 31.2% of you are using some bad stuff. Other is 8%. That's probably the Trend Micro people. 7% of you said none. I'm going Commando. That's not so bright. I got to be honest with you. I don't care what operating system you're using. Whatever came free with my broadband, that's 6% of you. Clam AV, 3%. Only 4 of you are using Microsoft. Only 3 of you are using Virax. And 1 of you has no idea. This week's poll is, as always, about one of the items in our news poll about the delay, the latest delay, yet another delay, in the 5-year history of Vista. The question is, the poll is Microsoft's latest Vista delay. And the choices are saddens me deeply, surprises me, means I win a bet, has absolutely no impact on me, and of course, for those of you who can't figure out that has absolutely no impact on me, means you, I have 2 more choices, the Macintosh and the Linux. So far, we've got 86 votes, and 53% of you say it has absolutely no impact on you, 16% the Macintosh, 13% the Linux. 9% want a bat, 6% are deeply saddened, and 2% of you living somewhere under a rock in Idaho said 2% surprises me. So that's what goes on there. Once you're done with the poll, of course, then you want to click on Give Us Your Opinion on the little yellow box under there. That takes you to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
You ain't kidding, baby. where you can enter an opinion, because we all know that just clicking a box doesn't do it for you long-winded and verbose folks. While you're at my website, please feel free to look around. I do a 3-times-a-week newsletter with tips and tricks and questions and answers and websites and rants and raves and all kinds of interesting things, plus a wonderful forum. So please feel free to look around, and if you're in the mood to join, I would be thrilled and delighted to have you do that. Then come back to our website at soundbites.org and click on the forums link and join us with some of the niftiest folks in the known universe in our forums here on Soundbites. So that's what we're doing with our lives here on Soundbites, and we'd be glad to have you join us in doing them. Back to the phones now, our next caller, Keith, on a cell phone. Welcome, Keith. What's your question? Hope you had a full charge.
No, I'm down to 1 bar on the power.
What's your question?
I got this comment about washing electrical components. A long time ago, before cell phones were attached to everyone's hip, I reached over to flush the toilet and accidentally dropped my pager in.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking in the bottom of the toilet thinking, okay, I'll reach in, grab it, flush the toilet, took the pager apart, ran it underwater and dried it with a hair dryer under a cool setting, and it worked. But I can't say the same for a cell phone.
Yeah.
Item of the ball, you take it back. A couple of yes or no questions. Can the average person change the cooling fan in a laptop?
No.
Okay.
Maybe. Some of them can be changed. Very few
it
of
depends.
Them can be changed. Yeah.
All right. Can you add RAM easily to a laptop? I do have an access panel on the bottom.
Yes.
Yes.
A couple, all right. Just to let people know that I have a new computer, and it's got Works on it, which I sort of like Microsoft Works. It's easy to navigate, especially the database program. But when you save files on it, it doesn't work on the old version of Works. So
that's true for just about every program. The new version can save as the old version.
The best thing to do is, in general, the best thing to do is to set all of your word processing programs on every operating system you have to, at best, use RTF, rich text format. That's kind of a lingua franca. Every word processing program on Earth can read and write and understand RTF documents.
Right, now, the important question. I bought a pretty decent computer. It's got 1 gigabyte of RAM.
Yeah.
250 megabyte hard drive. And yeah. I can't believe how freaking cheap the system was.
Sure.
And I want to take some videotapes and turn them into DVDs. What do I need to do? I have a Packard or Hewlett Packard HP, one with a media center in it, but I don't think it gives me the ability.
Yeah, you need a video in on your computer. Most of the computers just have video out to hook to a television. So you need a video in. Some of the ATI video cards have video in to capture video. You can also get some of the ITV or Miglia TV boxes that let you watch TV on your computer and record TV to your computer. And a couple of those models have TV in as well that you can plug your VCR into the box and then record it into your computer. If you have a camcorder, you can quite often hook a VCR to a camcorder. And then the camcorder plugs into the computer and would use either the Microsoft Movie Maker or the whatever software came with the camera to record that video into the computer.
All right.
It's a more common thing on the Mac since it comes with the video capture software and video editing software built in, Apple's iMovie.
Right.
But can also be done under Windows.
Right. Now, what about if you have S-Video? That's S-Video out.
That's usually out. Yeah, most of the computers just have out. The trick is having video in.
Do Macs have video in?
They don't have video in, no. But usually,
why did you nod as you said no?
Yes, the answer is no.
Okay, thank you.
But they do have the FireWire port for your camcorder.
Yeah.
So you can plug your camcorder into the Mac and record your video into your computer. And most of the digital camcorders have an analog pass through, so you can plug your VCR into it and either plug a record from television or a record from VHS.
Right. Right. Okay. All right. Our next caller is Bruce from Leroy, New York. Bruce, the important question here: Leroy or Leroy?
I'm new here, so it's Leroy.
My wife pronounces it, she's from Leroy, and she pronounces it Leroy. Wait, I got to get this right. I want to get it backwards. She pronounces it one way when she's here and the other way when she's there. It's very weird. All right, go ahead.
Interesting. Listen, I have Media Center on my notebook, and I just found out that my Life Drive isn't compatible with Media Center. What do I do? Can I upgrade the Media Center to, say, professional or home? Well, I've heard I can't, and I've talked to tech support for about 3 hours, give or take, and everyone I talk to has a different answer, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, you can always buy the full version of XP and install it. whether the upgrade counts,
yeah.
I would say no. Let's check. On Microsoft's system requirements, there should be a list of what you can upgrade from.
Well, I had bought, they had sent me home. The home version.
Yeah.
But luckily, I didn't open up the package because if I had, I wouldn't have been able to return it. And on that package, it said I couldn't upgrade Media Center.
Right. So you have to buy the full version. You can't buy an upgrade version.
I see. So
the full version of XP Home is $200.
Wow.
And Pro is $300.
Cheaper than that.
As an OEM, yeah.
Yeah.
But the full retail version when you're not selling it with a new computer.
Yeah.
I see. So I would need, say, the full version, and then I could redo my old computer, right?
Yeah.
Oh, and wait, there's a tech support at this one particular place. They told me because I have the tuner in it, the TV tuner, it's not compatible with XP.
It depends on which TV tuner it is. You'll have to go to that company's website and see if they have XP drivers.
And they may not.
There may be an exclusive contract with Microsoft to just do the for the Media Center edition.
Wow. So I might have to just buy a new computer, huh?
Well, check with that tuner card. I mean, tuner cards aren't that expensive.
No, well, right.
And first check with the manufacturer. They very well might have drivers that will work with XP.
Yeah, don't give up hope yet, Bruce.
Yeah, don't slam the door shut yet. Go online, check it out. And then if you need to get the full version, give me a buzz.
All right. Thanks. Our next caller, Jeff. on a cell phone. Welcome, Jeff. What's your question?
Well, I got a comment first. I bought a device at BJ's. It's a $40 device. You plug in your VCR, and if you got a DVD burner on your computer, it works. But I had uninstalled it and reinstalled it one time, and I deleted two of the drivers so that apparently aren't on that disk, and I need to get them back. I think the only way is going to be to reboot my computer from the start.
They're not the drivers that you're looking for are not on the CD?
That came with the device you're trying to
install? I think they were built into the computer, and it warned me, do you want to do this? And I said yes.
Well, generally then, if you uninstall the device from inside Windows.
Yeah, I've tried that and reinstall it. So I think the drivers were ones that came with the computer.
Right, but generally when you reinstall something like that, it brings them back.
It will ask you for your Windows disk if it needs to reinstall a Windows driver.
Yeah.
Theoretically.
That's all built on the hard drive on my e-machines. It has it all on the hard drive.
Yeah, without having an actual Windows disk, you may be screwed.
Yeah.
And that's one of the problems with those low-end machines that don't come with separate install disks.
Right. Do you know the names of the two drivers, the files that
you're
missing?
No, I don't remember. Mm-hmm. But I figure if I start the computer from scratch and reload everything, I might be able to get it back.
You might, but you have to remember that if you do that, you will lose everything that is currently on the hard drive, including any documents, email, whatever you've created.
Yeah, I know that.
Okay.
But that is a cheap option if that guy wants to
try it. Yeah, what's the name of that device? Do you have a name or a brand we can look up?
I don't know. It's a disk. I think it's Canada.
Well, because I've seen
I've
seen analog bridges that convert analog to FireWire, but they're usually $300. Analog video, in so you can bring it into your computer in a movie program.
One thing I want to mention, though, you know, we're telling a lot of folks to back up stuff and everything else, you know, and they're trying to remember to back up their settings and all that stuff. Well, if you're doing it on an XP machine, the good thing that I've recommended folks to do is before, you know, if like for that gentleman, if he's going to start from scratch, you can use the transfer files and settings program within XP. And what you do is you open up a temporary folder, you create a temporary folder, and you start that program. Say this is the old computer. And what you do is you then tell it to save the files and settings, and it'll say, and you tell it to save it to that temporary folder. And you do that. You let it run, and it'll, you know, get all the files and everything else to that folder. Now, once that's done, what you do is with your CD burner or your DVD burner, preferably DVD, burn that folder to the DVD. Now you go back and reinstall everything fresh.
You should make this a tip.
Well, that's what I was going to do, but I just didn't have time. I was thinking about this just the just this weekend because we're working on a client.
Yeah, because you usually think about copying from one computer to another, but you copy it to a disk and then copy it back to you.
Now what you do is you burn it back to a DVD. Once you get your machine back up and running, now because of all your emails and your documents, what you do is you put copy that folder back to your hard drive, and you start the file and transfer program again and say, oh, now it's the new computer. And it'll say, all right, where's this folder? You point it to the temp folder, and it'll put back all your documents and settings for you.
Yeah, that's a great tip. Let me make a refinement of that, however. When you first get your computer set up, go through every single program you have and make sure that everything is set to save stuff into the My Documents folder. You can create multiple folders under My Documents, but make sure they're all under the My Documents folder, including the settings folder that Dave just told you to make. That way, when you go to backup, you have one folder to backup. There's no possibility that you're going to forget where you stored something and you miss it, because it's always in that one folder.
Documents,
that makes life
settings
so much easier. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites and 1180 WHAM.
We're not sure what Sean Hannity knows about computers. But then again, we're not sure what the Soundbites boys know about anything but computers. Catch Sean Hannity later today on Wham! Now, back to Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this, at 45 minutes after the hour, is Soundbites. All right, for all those of you who've been desperately waiting for Internet Explorer 7, you won't have to do a dang thing, assuming you've got Windows XP Service Pack 2. If you do, when Internet Explorer 7 is available, you will get it. It will be pushed down to you just like any other update, whether you want it or not. For those of you who don't use Internet Explorer, you won't care. It'll install and you'll never see it again. Those of you who are using 6 and are perfectly happy with it, too dang bad. You're going to get 7, and you'll be a guinea pig along with everybody else.
The big problem is that Microsoft has started releasing beta copies of some of its software. There's a beta copy of Internet Explorer, a beta copy of Office 2007, and people are downloading that without seeing the word beta or understanding what it means. Yeah. It is test software. It will crash. Yep. You will lose data.
Right. I have a standard answer now. I send to people who email me stuff. If they, if I find out they're using the beta software, I just don't. I can't help them. Yeah, yeah, it's working exactly like it's supposed to.
All
it screwed up, and it took your machine with it.
Yep.
Thank you.
All Microsoft.
Yep. But yeah, so one of the things, however, is if you want the IE7 code, you have to validate that you're running a non-pirated version of Windows via Microsoft's WGA Advantage, because we don't want any of you dang stinking dirty pirates using real software. So that's going to be interesting. As you know, the Microsoft Automatic Update program, the WGA program, rather.
Yeah, we reported on that last week, how they...
It phones home.
They messed up. The database got messed up. Oh, like 45,000 usernames and all that. Even though they were legit copies, we're getting notices. Wait a minute, you don't have a legit copy. Yep. And they did.
Yeah. In addition, it was phoning home every day. And that resulted in an outcry, so Microsoft updated that. So we don't know what you're going to get with Internet Explorer 7, but whatever it is, you're going to get it whether you want it or not. So congratulations. How exciting for you. Our next caller is Jim from Webster, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Yeah, I have a three-year-old Dell computer, and it has a 2.4 gigahertz Pentium 4, runs at 533 bus speed. Mm-hmm. My question is, can you it's a socket 478. Mm-hmm. Can you take a higher front side bus speed processor and run it at 533? Can you put like an 800 front side bus speed processor in there?
Why would you wanna?
Wouldn't it make it run faster?
No.
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 No, because the very little of what you do on a daily basis actually involves the speed of the chip itself. What it involves is how fast you get data in and out.
Okay.
And the DMA controller, if you're using a smaller, the motherboard is set up for one bus speed and you're putting in a faster chip,
it will slow down.
Yeah.
Okay. So would it be worthwhile to take, like, it's got a 2.4 in it now, mm-hmm. and you can put I think you can go up to like a 3.06 on a 533 bus. Would you see any improvement?
A little.
And it depends on what software you're running. Right. If you're rendering Photoshop filters all day long, then you may notice it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
If you're surfing the web, you won't notice it.
Right.
I see. So
if you're playing games, you likely won't notice it. If you're doing word processing, you won't notice.
I mean,
even with games now, you get Quake is running at 50 frames per second. You put in the faster chip, you get 60 frames per second. You can't notice the difference between that.
And you might, if you're going to get the chip, you might as well get the motherboard with the 800 front side bus.
Right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, at 49 minutes after the hour on Soundbites 1180 WHAM.
Whams, rush, look and understand. It's Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. But back to the phones. We have Jerry from Rochester on the line. Welcome, Jerry. What's your question? Jerry, are you there?
Turn off your
Jerry,
radio.
Jerry, turn off your radio.
Yeah, I just did.
Okie doke.
Okay, my question to you is, my Music Match, which was loaded on my computer by Dell, which is out of its one-year warranty now. It's about a year and
right.
4 months old. It keeps doing strange things and bad things, won't close down, this and that. It tells me there's an error, and I need to reload it. Now, I have the system disk that Dell sent me, everything that was loaded on there when it came, and it's telling me to reload it. Can I just put the disk in and reload only Music Match?
No. That will erase your hard drive and restore it as if you just bought the computer. You need to go to the Music Match website and download the current version.
Okay, I tried, but it wants me to pay them $19.95.
Right, because you're getting a new version.
Yeah.
Okay.
New and improved.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's no way around that. Lots of companies, Dell is just one of them, don't actually give you a real set of disks with all your programs on it. If you're lucky, you get a reinstalled disk, which sets your machine back to the way it was day one. Everything you've done, including all your documents, have disappeared, but they're happy because your machine works again.
Yeah, I have that system restore.
Yeah.
And I have had to do it. Can I ask you another quick question?
Yeah.
Down in my, you know, the start thing down at the bottom?
Yeah.
In the right-hand corner about a month ago suddenly appeared this little round funky thing, and it said it was a Google desktop search.
Yep.
And I don't know how it got there or where it came from.
Because 10 to 1 odds when you were installing some piece of software, when you're clicking through all the screens, it says, oh, we're going to add this to your desktop. And you went ahead and clicked yes because the box was already checked, and it was a Google toolbar. In the add remove programs, you can go in there and uninstall the Google toolbar.
I did, but guess what it did to my Internet Explorer? It removed my address line at the top, even though I've gone through everything I should go through to put it back. Mm-hmm. The little address square to the right is not an option. It's not lit up. You know how they're lit up if something's an option? I've lost the whole address line from Internet Explorer.
There's view toolbar's address. Should turn that back on.
Yeah. Right. It is. It's on. It's on. There's no way it won't come back.
Maybe it's dragged off to the side of the window and you're not seeing it.
Yeah, it might be off to the side as a, a side arrow.
Uh-huh.
And then a drop-down window.
Yeah, I have that for links, even though the links thing isn't lit up. But I don't have it for the address bar. Can I reinstall Internet Explorer?
No.
No, that's part of the OS.
You can move to Firefox, which is free and is safer to use than Internet Explorer. Because there are way fewer ways into your system for viruses through Firefox. But you cannot do much with Internet Explorer. Of course, now if you wait a little while, you'll get version 7 if you have Service Pack 2 of XP. But unfortunately, Microsoft puts Internet Explorer into the operating system and makes it hard to do certain things with it. And I'm sorry. Our next caller, Armand from Farmington. Welcome, Armand. What's your question?
Well, I have a problem with my computer. I accidentally hit the F10 system recovery button.
Yeah.
And it looks like I don't have anything current on my computer. And I was wondering, is there a way for me to try to get it back to where it was before I hit the F10?
Well, F10 doesn't do anything except take you into BIOS. On a Compaq or an HP.
It's a Compaq.
Yeah.
Yeah, that takes you into BIOS. It doesn't do anything to the hard drive or the things on your hard drive.
Well, right now I'm looking at my normal screen to sign in.
Mm-hmm.
My kids, they're gone. It's only me on here.
Yeah.
And my Roadrunner doesn't work because I don't think it's recognizing it because I don't think it's.
Yeah, something more happened. It's nothing to do with going into the BIOS.
Yeah, no. You might want to try restart, shut it off, let it set for a few seconds, restart. If it does the same thing, then I would suggest taking it in and having it looked at. Sorry.
Yeah, it sounds like something more is wrong with the system than just that. Well, we're done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to apologize to everybody to whom we did not get. Next week, just call in earlier and more often. We're done for another week. Please go to our website, soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. And vote in the poll. Then head over to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
Enrights.com. Very nice. And enter an opinion. We'll be back next week with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton. I'm Nick Francesco, and you've been listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHJM.